16. First, seek to understand, and then to be understood. It's an expression that was made popular by Stephen Covey in the Seven Habits book. But it's a chazal, and I think it's really the key for a successful Tisha B'Av. I think it's well known that constraints and structure are what allow for creativity. And therefore, you see some of these kinos, these very complex, constraining literary structures. It starts with the Eich itself, which is structured each of the five prokem, or 22 psukim, first four go according to Aleph base, the last one different. And this particular kinah takes that to another level. It does each of the sentences essentially starts with the first word of the fifth parak of kinos, which isn't going according to Aleph base, but then the second word is going with the Aleph base, keeping track. So within all that structure, it's noteworthy in the first to point out, obviously, it's what Rabbi Yehuda said, that in Eich itself, this first four prakim, so those are points to the state of the Aleph base, but there are two that are out of order. Even though, of course, in Aleph base, it goes Aleph before Pei, but in the Eich, it goes Pei for Aleph. Pei for Ayin, it's Pei for Ayin. Upon that, of course, and they say that's to allude to the fact that they were mocked their peh to their ayin, their mouth preceded their ayin. Now, the pashut shot there is that they determined what they were going to do and say before they looked at what things were. And that the paradigm, the starting point of that, of course, is the first issue of the Chet Meraglim, where the Meraglim decided before they went there, it's already they determined what they were going to come back and say before they looked with their eyes to see the Messias, the Matzah on the ground there in Yisrael. But that theme of having this preconceived notion of what you're going to do and what you're going to say before you seek to understand what's going on around you, other people around you, the world around you, is the theme. To my mind, replays again and again and again in the very bottom, comes of our Kamsa story and the themes throughout Tisha B'Av. I once asked Rabbi Yaakov Weinberg, if you learn in the Rambam in Hilchos Deos, so he describes how Kilshev proper mitzvos, the Rav today. Emphasize that a lot. So the way the Rambam describes it, he says, every mitzvah has a continuum, like from 0 to 100. You could be like extremely generous, or you could be extremely stingy. And you gotta size yourself up and figure out if you're 49 on the scale from 0 to 100, so that's no good. You gotta get yourself to 50. You gotta be exactly precise in the middle of each and every mitzvah. So I asked Rabbi Yaakov Weinberg, I said, that's a nice idea, but it's so not Mitzvah. We're not computers. How could we possibly ascertain if you're holding at 48, 49, or 50, or 51 on the spectrum of each mitzvah? How's that conceivable? What's he telling you? It's a halacha. What's a halacha? So we told him the pshat is that the chacham, who the Rambam is describing, he doesn't have a preconceived, preconditioned response to the situation, the choice he has to make. He is sort of neutral going into it, so that based on what he looks at the situation, he understands it, and then based on what the situation calls for, then he responds accordingly. Maybe it'll be too generous, it'll be to be not generous. But the point of being exact in the middle means that you don't come with a pre-encoded response, a knee-jerk reaction without thinking first. Everything should be first considered and then responded to. And that, of course, would be the diametric opposite of extremism. Extremism, a theme, obviously, that Chazal emphasize as a big part you see in the story of part of the Korban Bayis Sheni for sure. And I think it's a what we see in the parallels of what went on in Vaishevi's time with our own time, I think everybody here, and probably all 10 million residents of this country, see there's an extremism that's emerged. Different people pointed who are the extremists. And it's because of that extremism that things are getting worse, not better, with the fear of God forbid that it gets unthinkably bad. And I think if you would ask all 10 million people in this country, including everyone here, so what is the problem, Taka? What's the reason the problems in this country? So everyone here, country of 10 million prime ministers, everyone has an answer. Everyone here has a shita of who's to blame and why it's happening and who's being unreasonable and who's. And I bet everyone here, myself included, and everyone in every shul and everyone not in shul today in this country who has an opinion on who's to blame, none of them think it's them or their people, the ones they're aligned with. It's the other factions in this country. Somebody has to be wrong. Or maybe not. When I have my kids in a room and they start fighting with each other, and I'm just sitting back and watching. So after they start fighting, you know what happens? One kid says, it's not my fault, he did this first. This is not my fault, he did this second, and because of this, he did it. Usually, they're both wrong and they're both right. They all, any of them could defuse the situation, but instead, each one has to fight it. So things going out of control. And certainly no one was stopping to think in that scenario. What's the other person's side of the story? There's a Gemara Kedushin that Lamed says that people, if they're fighting over a Gemara that, like any Rav and Abaye, whoever, and definitely Gemara, but I'm saying Rav and Abaye or anybody else who are arguing, they each have their shita. That's fine. They're like oyvim, more like because the father and son fighting are like oyvim. They're enemies. Each one's person's fighting for truth, trying to understand, that's good. But like the story the Rav told her today about Moshe and Stern, they find it out and they're that much not change their position. But they don't, it was not an ohev. The oyev, the enemy, with whom you're fighting, becomes your ohev, the person who you care about. Because you appreciate their side of the story, their approach. There's only one pasuk in the Tanakh which mentions all four of the Tanis, and it ends the emes, the shalom, the tikkun, to solve nation's problems then and now are embracing emes and shalom. And I don't see any way a person could possibly achieve that. They don't need, in my opinion, to have the level of tzidkus of the stories that I've told, people not setting alarms, staying up all night, all of I will get there. But just to understand the other person's side of the story. Emes, like every sukkah in Shas, Elul ve'Elul has two sides. And Shalom, harmony, social harmony, requires everybody doing what they can, but respecting the other. And that's a message, I think, which is relevant to all of us and every person in this country. Now, sometimes there is a place for extremism. And in this particular kinnah, they have that one place. There's a se'if in the halacha, yarg v'yavor, the ultimate act of extremism. It's like a sort of sheval tesa version, which is you'd rather die than do something that bad. That's extreme. And in this particular kinnah, the first half, apparently things aren't quite as people had anticipated. What could go on there? And then the second part talks about how these 400 children were being taken off to Rome for terrible things. And they said, rather than doing those terrible things, we're going to jump off the boat and they died. That's extreme. But it does need to come to that. It long before you refuse to appease people who are in power and offer carbonos, refuse to offer carbonos that is at least something with nefesh. We have to seek to understand what the consequences will be, how the other person reacts to our actions, and wherever each of us stand on the various divisive issues in this country, you're probably right, but the person with whom you disagree most strongly, probably a smart person, probably has good intentions, probably wants the best for this country, and doesn't agree with you. And that should give each of us cause for pause and to see that we don't ever hear Yirmiyahu saying it's too late. In the end, Yirmiyahu said it was too late and Tshuva wouldn't help. Both of you said there's a gezeira that's going to happen. At that point, Yirmiyahu said, just put your heads under the yoke of Babel and submit. I don't think we're there yet. None of you said that. But the only way this country can get out of the mess it's in, which is a mess no worse than what's going on in the Beit HaMikdash, first and second, I should say no better, is to make an effort to be part of the solution. Each in our own way, and that's for sure going to start. The goal is Emes v'Shalom. But the starting point has to be to not be mocked in the pet of the eye. And you have to first open your eyes and see there's another side, and this country is tearing itself apart. And that will only stop if all of us, extreme in our own ways, make the effort to understand the other person, mock in line to the pet.